It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scouts. Sinaldo, I'm joined with today, and Andy, you have the honour because you are the final guest of the team reveal series of pre-season. It's back to normal content from next week, burning questions and all of that kind of stuff. How are you feeling? How's your drive? You've been off all summer, you've been taking it nice and easy. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, no pressure there on being the last video. Also the first video for me coming back, so I'll probably stutter with my words a little bit, but the break has been fantastic. It's been good to sort of get my mind off FPL and football, but since last week, I've just been back in the zone and super, super pumped for the start of the season, as well as our burning questions next week.
Yeah, and how's it been watching your co-host Praz with his summer fling with Andy North?
Yeah, he's been, we've been talking about breakup here, and Andy, obviously a good friend of mine as well, but that's been great. I've been listening here and there, and I'm sure we'll have Andy on as a guest on BQ as well, and hopefully we'll be on Scoutcast as well. So yeah,
I think Andy's been very impressed with Praz and those videos. I mean, the prep he does and all the kind of knowledge he's got is really impressive, and you know, you two obviously are a great combination on Burning Questions, and looking forward to seeing that next season. So you've been back for a week then, you've been tinkering a little bit. How kind of set are you in with your team? Did you look at the template? Have you been looking at any kind of FPL stuff? Have you been looking at Twitter or other videos or anything, or have you just made this draft completely off your own back?
I think I've definitely been influenced a little bit by Twitter, and also videos with Pros and Andy, and here and there, a team reveal on FF Scout channel as well. Some lovely guests. As well as you, so I've been listening to Black Box, here and there as well. So I feel like I'm, sort of set on where I need to be, where I want to go. But there's still a week left and some very important final preseason games. That's going to definitely influence a lot of these 50-50 decisions that, I'm kind of struggling with right now.
Where did you finish? You came about 20, was it 20K last season?
14K, 14 point something 14, K.
Sorry, 14K. Yeah.
And, very, very close to a top 10K with 1 week to go. I think I was like 10K, 11K. So I ended up with a, not so great final game week. But actually, after the final game week, I felt a sigh of relief because I was so pressured into getting into the top 10K previously, and pressure on myself, nobody else, right? And so for me to miss out, I actually thought it was a good thing because I realized, oh, it's just a game in the end, and it's not going to make or break me. So yeah,
it didn't break you. Finishing 14K didn't break you. That's nice though. I mean, it's interesting because obviously I do Black Box with Mark, and there's the Scoutcast guys and all the pods and stuff, and the kind of rivalry that you develop with the kind of person you're doing with, it's often a friendly rivalry. I mean, I would say Mark probably wants me to do quite well, and I guess I'd reluctantly say that I want Mark to do well each season as well. You're obviously doing it with Praz now. You kind of started about halfway through last season. Do you feel that kind of rivalry with him? Do you want to kind of beat him next season? Is there any kind of feeling that you want to kind of, you know, finish a bit higher than Pras? I mean, he's a very good manager, right? So you'll have to have a blinding season, I think, to beat him. But it's definitely doable.
You know, honestly, as not at all. I actually don't have any rivalries with any of you know, the content creators as well as the FPL community. If anything, it's more like my mini league close friends from college. Mm-hmm. I'm also relatively new to the game, actually. And so for me, it's just proving to myself that, you know, it's not, the rank is just a number, but sort of, you know, am I making the right decisions and how far I can finish? I actually enjoyed, you know, competing against myself last season, mostly. But I think I'm sure as I play more and more, my goals will change. And I'm sure there's going to be rivalries that form. But with Pras, it's just good fun to, you know, poke fun at him. But no, nothing like you and Mark there.
this is why you're consistently rated as one of the nicest guys in the QD. Because, yeah, there's a lot of people thinking, yeah, I don't feel that. I mean, I definitely feel the rivalry between Mark and I. And obviously,
yeah,
he's,
we love it.
He's got the kind of like elite manager tag as well. So it does feel a bit like you're kind of testing yourself when you kind of go up against someone like that. And obviously had a good season last year, but the year before that was, he absolutely destroyed me, so it wasn't so fun. Right, let's take a look at your team then. Just before we do that, if you are enjoying these videos, if you've enjoyed the preseason content so far, and with Andy and Praz, with Ted, Harry's come on, we've had all the great guests on the team reveals, do give us a like on this video, do subscribe to the channel as well. We really appreciate it. We've got loads of stuff, great stuff planned over the season. Back to regular content next week. Check out the YouTube schedule on Scout. Basically, it's TED Talks on the Monday, Captaincy and Scoutcast on the Tuesday, Burning Questions and Gianni's Team Reveal on the Wednesday. Harry will be doing the stuff on the Thursday. Friday, we have the Q&A and the team news. We've got some weekend stuff planned as well. David Monday is coming back to do a Sunday evening stream as well. And there's some talks about a Saturday night stream as well. So yeah, loads and loads of great stuff. So make sure you are subscribed to the channel and that you like all the videos, because it helps us move up the rankings. It helps bring in more ad revenue. It helps us bring in more pro pundits, do more videos, all that kind of stuff. So it does all kind of really, really help. Right, let's take a look at your team then, Mr. Sonaldo. So you have Ramsdale in goal. It's Trent, James, Cancelo and Perisic. Big at the back. Another big at the back. It's Martinelli, Salah, Luis Diaz and Neto. Oh, wait, no, it's not Neto. It's Pedence. What's he doing in there? We'll talk about that. And then it's Kane and Gabriel Jesus up front. I mean, the first question, the notable omission from your team.
Oh, God.
Where the hell is Heung-Min Son?
Yeah, When you asked me to come on the team reveal video, I had a moment where I thought maybe I should just put a Son Threemium, team up there, or a Son and, you know, Salah, Son and Haaland team up there.
David's went really well the other day. People love that draft.
I think that one of the things that I learned in the season last year is that you need to be as subjective, objective as possible, try to eliminate all biases and really think, you know, change how you view football as a fan and how you want to play FPL. If you want to have fun, if you want to go for it, you know, pick the players you want and pick the players you think are going to do the best in FPL. That's a, you know, totally viable strategy. Obviously, I want the most points. Obviously, I want to pick my favorite players, but at the same time, it is a game against other managers, and it's also a strategic game where you have to see it as a long marathon and not just a, short sprint. Granted, the season's a little bit different, but to put Son in there at 12 million, which also I'm very, you know, as a Korean fan, I'm very proud of a Korean player being that highly expensive. It's just super difficult to find a way to get him in there without the sacrifices you make, because essentially it's Son and X player versus X player and X player, and the combinations, or it could be like Son XX versus, you know, three other players. The combinations add up to the non-Son players being more beneficial, I think, for now. So I think he's going to do great. I think he's going to, start off hot. He's going, I'm very excited about Spurs this season, but in the overall grand scheme of my team, it's just very difficult to fit him in.
So you've got Kane in there, and you did send me a draft originally with Haaland in. So you're clearly sort of flip-flopping between those two. Yep. I imagine, like a lot of us, the Community Shield is going to be key. Pep's press conference at the end of next week is going to be key to knowing where we start of it. Are you not tempted to go with Son over Kane, though? And because you could have the two premiums that way. I mean, it means that you can't move for Haaland easier, but that tells me that you're prioritizing Haaland, or at least the idea of Haaland over Son, for example.
Yeah. So great question. I'm 50-50 on Haaland and Son and Kane, sorry. There's multiple reasons why I'm going Kane over Son. First of all, he's 0.5 cheaper, and that doesn't seem like a lot of money right now, but that's a huge amount of money, right? 0.5 can be the difference between a wingback that you want versus a so-and-so wingback. You see the point here. Number two is I want price points in the striker position at the premium, because just in case someone like Kane goes off or someone like Haaland goes off, you want to be able to switch between the two. In the preseason, the recent preseason game, Spurs, I think he played Rangers. I was able to catch a good chunk of the game, and I noticed something very interesting. Last season, you saw Kane drop deeper, right? And, he's obviously the pass master, found Son on the runs. And this is a pattern of play you'll see a lot this season. In this preseason game, I saw Son drop deeper more than Kane. I might be wrong here, but I noticed that Son would drop quite deep to receive the ball and kind of carry the ball up or find passing lane. So I'm very interested to see what Perisic does to this team. I'm very interested to see what Richarlison does, but essentially, the 0.5 is a big difference and is going to go a long way. But I do have plans to bring Son in eventually.
It is interesting because, I mean, Son was such an elite player last season, particularly when Conte took over. But there is Richarlison there who likes to play on the left. I mean, he's realistically, Richarlison isn't going to be putting any pressure on Kane or Son in terms of starts, but does put pressure on Son, I think, in terms of minutes to give him that kind of early rest that we did see. Yeah. A lot last season. Perisic coming in is interesting, and we can talk about Perisic because he's in your side. I mean, the worries are with him is his minutes, it's when does he get subbed off. But there's no doubt that he's so many leagues above Sessegnon in terms of quality and ability. And, he's played in European games, he's played under Conte before, he's such an attacking, direct wing-back that Conte likes. So I don't think there's any doubt that Perisic is first choice. Is there any worries about the kind of minutes there, though? Neil, for example, is trying his best to put me off him. But yeah. I'm seeing him creep into a couple of teams now. And he's even crept into my draft that I've got at the moment. Again, pre-season minutes are a bit of a worry. But I do like, if he starts, I really like him.
Yeah. So I think with Perisic, he is one of the first guys on my team. And that's a bold statement. This final preseason game is going to tell me a lot, whether I'm going to, go for him or not go for him. Let's say he gets a start, plays 60 plus minutes. I think I'll go for him for sure. For me, Perisic is a different class to all the wingbacks at Spurs. When you think of the top three teams, let's say, Chelsea, Liverpool and Man City, what makes them so great in modern football is their wingbacks. For example, Cancelo, Robertson, James, Chilwell last season was so amazing for a while. And, the modern wingbacks are not really defensive wingbacks anymore, right? They're part of that attack. They're part of the underlapping runs. And, Perisic, you have to understand this guy is a creation hero, sort of the Robin to the Batman in Modric, and his crossing is so, so good. As Spurs lacked crossing last season. Royale, for example. Sessegnon's not a great crosser. Spence, the new kid, is going to be a long project, not a great crosser. Doherty also is good, but not the best crosser. Perisic is the absolute key to a Conte system. Plus, he's so good both feet. He crosses so much with his left foot as well. And then he does those Cancelo like right outside foot crosses that curve into the box. So very deadly there. So you got Son and Perisic on the left, who are both great with both feet. I know I'm dragging on here about Perisic, but you know, you'll take on defenders, you'll confuse the defenders, you know. You can go left, you can go right. That's the asset of being, you know, double-footed. He's 33, yes, but I don't think age is a factor with him. It's just the rest, sure, is a factor, because you want him fresh for the important games, Champions League, this and that. But he's always been known for his range and sort of how much activity and how, you know, now as a wing back, how defensively, you know, how much coverage he has over the field. So he's super active, great at set pieces. I don't mean by like crossing, I mean by heading. He's actually good at getting some header goals here and there. So that's another, you know, added asset. And then on top of that, he's got the long range bombs in terms of goals, Rudiger like, both feet. So he's just the ultimate wingback at 5.5 for a Conte Spurs, who we're all very excited about. So I want this guy in my team if I see him play the final preseason game.
Yeah. I mean, this is over on Fantasy Football Scout. And obviously, you know, Well, I work there full time. Sandra does the stuff for us. If you're watching this video, you probably know who Fantasy Football Scout are. But we've got some amazing stuff over there. I can talk a bit about the tools in a bit. But one of the best things we've got at the moment is this pre-season minutes tracker. If you head to the kind of articles, you can kind of see these. And you know, it's a full list of every player playing for Premier League team and how many minutes they've played in different matches. It's just the easiest to use guide that I've seen out there. And what I'm looking for here is I'm looking at Perisic, because I think Perisic is one of those players who I think doesn't need a lot of minutes to get back to full fitness. And Conte's spoken about his natural kind of fitness, but you still want him to have played some minutes in pre-season. So just looking down this list, I mean, you've got Ryan Sessegnon here, who's his biggest kind of rival. Sessegnon has played 45 minutes in the first preseason friendly, then 45 again in the second, and then 60 minutes in the third. So if he gets another 60 minutes against Roma, that's a lot of minutes, a lot of preseason minutes for Sessegnon. Perisic, on the other hand, you've got to go right down here. He didn't play any minutes in the first game, none in the second game, but he did get 30 minutes against Rangers. So it's going to be really interesting to see exactly what you've been saying, what happens in that Roma game, which is tomorrow. Because if Perisic starts that game and gets 45 to 60 minutes, you've got to think he's going to start that first match against Southampton.
Yeah, for me, for sure. And it's that Southampton home game that entices me. I don't read too much into the Sessegnon minutes. I've been tracking every Spurs game so far. And, you know, preseason is one of those times where the young kids, you know, guys who are trying to break into the starting 11 or you know, Sessegnon is definitely in Conte's mind, but he's just giving him more minutes to gel. But you saw in that 20-30 minute cameo, the gulf in class between Perisic and Sessegnon. It's just a different tier of a player. So if Perisic gets the start and gets some minutes in that preseason game, I'm very confident he starts Southampton.
Yep, I agree with that as well.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Excellent. Good. It's good to hear some positive talk about Perisic, because I really want him in my side. I mean, you know, looking at his kind of XG and his shooting, it's, again, I know obviously it's in Italy and it's comparing to Premier League players, but if he can bring in similar numbers from Italy, he's going to be the most attacking fullback in the league, you know, even over James and Chilwell. So yeah, really excited to see what he can kind of bring. Right, let's talk about Pedence then. What is he doing there? Andy, you've gone against the template, you've gone against Neto, Pedence is in. What's the thinking?
So we're just skipping to the tough ones.
straight in, yep.
Another 50-50. I think they both have 3 goals, 1 assist in preseason, so they're both very viable assets. And, you know, obviously you want the three players from each of the best teams. Essentially, preseason, we know nothing is kind of the theme, right? And so because of that, what can you base it on? You base it on fixtures and you base it on trying to get the best players from the best teams. But with that, there's always 100 million you have to work with, and you need enablers. You need these cheaper price points. And at 5.5, with Wolves fixtures being good in the beginning, it just makes sense to have one of these guys in. I don't like reading too much into the narrative that, you know, Wolves were not attacking last season. They weren't that, you know, they weren't scoring many goals. Because it's just a totally different new season. You have to always try to, you know, get rid of a lot of your biases. It's a blank new season, blank new clean sheet palette, right? And, you know, this preseason, Wolves have been looking really good. I think the Jimenez news has kind of pushed me towards Potence. I like the fact that Potence is going to probably play the striker role. I do think that he's going to play closer to the box. I think Neto might drift a little bit wider. And yes, there's Hwang just returned to preseason, by the way, to training after some butt injury. But I think that I don't see Hwang as a direct replacement for Jimenez. I actually think Hwang might be more viable on the left because he's more defensively active. So you could possibly see Neto move, you know, a little bit higher and Hwang replace him on the left, while Potence, I do believe, starts at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I mean, looking at going back to Fancy Football Scout, looking at the kind of members' tools, we can compare Potence and Neto and kind of look by averages per appearance. And obviously you can do this with kind of any players. There's ability to do three players as well. And I mean, there's not a huge amount in it between them. I mean, it's one of those ones where I think Neto is a better player than Potence. Yep. He's younger as well. He's 21 or 22 years old, something like that. I think Potence is 26. But I think there is a hell of a player in Neto. And obviously he's had the injury, yep, and at least he got minutes last season to kind of come back to. But it's a small sample size with Neto. I think he only started 5 games when he was available. He came off the bench quite a bit. I think about 18 appearances kind of over the season. Potence played quite a bit more. In terms of minutes per point, nothing between them at all. I mean, yeah, Neto's 22 minutes per point. Potence is 21.8. So yeah, not a huge amount at all. If you look at XG, Neto's expected XG per match is 0.2. Potence is 0.1. And then that filters into minutes per XGI, which is down the bottom. So basically, how many minutes does it take them to get something that symbolises either an assist or a goal? Well, Neto's at 1.52 is pretty good. That is, you know, it's hard to judge because when players are coming off the bench against tied opposition and all this kind of stuff, it can factor in it. But 152 is a decent minutes per XGI. Potence is quite a long way off that at 258.8. So I think if you're going to go with Potence, I mean, his bonus point potential is better. His baseline is better, 7.5 compared to 4.8. So when Potence does get something, he tends to do well on the bonus point. So that is a good factor for him. But I think you've got to believe that Potence is going to be the more safe and more secure player, because the underlying stats to me paint the picture that Neto is a better option than Potence. But he has had the injury and we don't really know how he's going to factor with Jimenez being out. So this could be one of those template busting moves, Andy, that, you know, people, I haven't seen anyone with Potence. I don't know what his ownership is. It can't be very high.
Yeah, very low. And just off that, the key point you mentioned is that Neto, I think, started last season, started 5 games, injured pretty much the entire season. And then, you know, the previous season, he had a spurt where he was on fire for a bit, right? But, you know, Neto, from a brief understanding, is much better with Jimenez than without Jimenez, whereas Potence, there's minimal difference whether he plays with Jimenez or not. So that's another thing. Plus, I think Neto, as good as he's been in preseason and he's getting back in form and rhythm, you know, Premier League minutes is a different thing, and he lacks it from last season. So another 50-50 decision, another preseason game to go. So I might easily go back to Neto. Yeah,
I have to say it's a very, very well-balanced team you put together. I like the Ramsdale in goal. I think, you know, I've been talking a lot about preseason, about the kind of 4.5 million goalkeepers and how I always like to start with those. But the more I think about it, the more I think Ramsdale is just such a solid option with the fixtures, the opening five or six fixtures that, that Arsenal have got. So I really like that. Defence, really strong. Four of the most attacking defenders. You've got the 8 million midfielder in place. You've got Marcelli, a good 6 million option. You've got Pedence. I mean, the 5.5 bracket is decent. You know, there's players that can emerge in there. Vissa, Gordon, you know, Neto. You can maybe move up to someone like Lingard at 6 if you wanted to as well, if you downgrade someone else. And then Kane and Jesus. So it's a bit of a boring team. I mean, Pedence and Perisic are interesting. The rest are kind of, you know, we're seeing in a lot of drafts. But it's hard to argue against it, isn't it? Because it's solid, yeah. It's flexible. You've got good price points across. You've got mostly players from top sides. I mean, you've got all your players are from top six, except for Pedence, for example. You know, what else can you say? It's strong.
Yeah, I'd rather hear criticism about my team being boring than my team being crazy. So I don't mind it being boring. I want to kind of like explain why this might seem boring, but it's strategic. It's because I already have a pre-plan, and pre-plans always change in FPL for when I do want to wildcard. And my strategy right now is to wildcard in game week 8. So if I'm trying to wildcard in game week 8, that means that I'm trying to maximize my Arsenal, City, Liverpool, and Chelsea assets. And then I mentioned that I'm thinking about bringing in Son. 8 to 11 is a good time to bring in Son, where, you know, Liverpool have, I think, Chelsea, Brighton, Arsenal, Man City, or something like that. Mm. So there's a little bit of a strategy there. I'm not sure how it's going to pay off. And I just want to mention a little bit about Ramsdale, if you don't mind.
Please do.
So I broke down every keeper, right? Not every keeper, but I broke down my key list. And I don't know if this way of thinking is correct, but you have your 4.5s, you have your 5s, and you have your 5.5. In the 5.5 bracket, there was Lloris and Ederson. Lloris is already out the picture, and it's Ederson. And so what I'm looking for is who is my best keeper option between game week 1 to game week 7 because of my pre-plan to wildcard in game week 8. Ederson has 4 home games, 3 away games in that time. Ramsdale has 4 home games, 3 away games. Mendy, another 5.0, has 3 home games, 4 away games. And at the 4.5, you have Raya with 3 home games, 4 away games. And then Sanchez with 3 home games and 4 away games. So already Ramsdale and Ederson have 1 more home game versus away game. You deep dive into that, and I won't go into detail here, but you know, you literally write it down like kind of like this, right?
I knew you'd be a manual kind of FPL player, all on paper.
I like to write stuff. And then, you know, you deep dive into that and you sort of try to predict clean sheets here, right? And for example, I think that Ramsdale has a chance to get 4 or 5 clean sheets in that time. Mendy has a chance to get 5 to 6 clean sheets in that time. So Mendy sounds better, but Chelsea is in disarray right now. Mm. And Ederson, if you really look into it, yes, it's Man City, but there's also some iffy games, you know, like West Ham away. Like, I'm not so bullish on a clean sheet there. You know, Villa away, you never know. Spurs home. And so for 0.5, I think Ramsdale has just as good of a chance to sort of match Ederson or just be a little bit behind in points. But again, there's not going to be much of a difference, I think, in keepers. And so Raya and Sanchez, if you look into the first 7 game weeks, I'm not so keen on their clean sheet chances. So that's why I'm leaning towards Ramsdale for now.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's an excellent summary. And it's kind of what I'm coming around to after being so bullish about 4.5 goalkeepers. I think with the doubts around Raya and Brentford, I think Raya to me looked, when the kind of preseason started, Raya to me looked the most obvious choice. A 4.5 playing for Brentford, who are looking quite solid. You know, he was one of the top performing goalkeepers in terms of minutes per points last year when he came back from injury. But I think losing Eriksen, defensive problems that they've had, defensive injuries they've had pre-season, they've had a rough pre-season as well in terms of results and performances. And now they've signed this new goalkeeper who, you know, by all accounts is absolutely excellent. So I think it all these things together just pushes Raya away from my thinking. And I'm looking at the other 4.5s. I mean, you're looking at Pickford. I don't trust Everton at all. Melier, I don't trust Leeds at all after losing Phillips. You're looking at Sanchez, and it doesn't get much more boring than Sanchez because he doesn't ever really hit big numbers. So, you're completely reliant on bright and clean sheets. There's all these rumours about Cucurella. That will massively disrupt us if he leaves. We've lost Bissouma as well.
Yeah.
And so I agree. I think paying that 0.5 and getting Ramsdale or Saar is the way to go. Edison's a bit too expensive for me, but one of the 5 million goalkeepers is probably the play. So, yep.
Yeah, so as just on the Raya note there, the new keeper, Strakosha, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, is sort of a longer-term keeper for Brentford, from what I've read so far. He's an excellent keeper. He could rival and definitely start, but I think it is Raya's place to lose. And if you remember last season, when Raya went down with his injury, that's when Brentford's defense kind of started to collapse. The reason being is he's very good with his feet, and Brentford like to build up from the back with the keeper being able to sort of, you know, have the ball, you know, spread the ball out to his defenders or even to his mid. So I think it is Raya's place to lose. But as you mentioned, first game, Leicester away. I don't know about that clean sheet. Home to United. It is a home game, but it is United. Away, Fulham. Maybe it's a clean sheet, but, you know, Fulham is coming up and they've got Mitrovic, and Fulham, I think, is going to play lead style football where they're just going to be kind of attacking, and yeah, we'll take the goals, but we'll attack. Hopefully that's the way they play. Everton home. Yes, maybe clean sheet there. Crystal Palace away. I'm not sure about that at all. Crystal Palace being so good away at home. And then, you know, Leeds, Southampton. So it's just like not giving me confidence that he's going to get much clean sheets there.
Yeah, I think Strakosha is a really interesting one as well for Raya, because Raya is so important to the way Brentford play. I mean, in the season when Brentford got promoted, he made 300 more passes than any other goalkeeper in the Championship, for example. And it wasn't just the defence that suffered when he left. It was also, he's so crucial to their general build-up play. And so I think they had to move for a kind of a sweeper-keeper backup, because they realised if they lose Raya, they lose such a key part of their squad. And, you know, obviously any team in the Premiership is going to be affected when their first-choice keeper loses out, but a lot of them have good, able deputies. But the fact was, last year they didn't have anyone that could play with the ball at his feet as well as Raya did. So they've addressed that. I agree with you. I don't think he comes in as first choice, but when you've got two quality goalkeepers like that, a couple of mistakes for Raya in a side in which they're already struggling pre-season defensively, and he could be out the door. It's just too big a risk. You don't want to be making a goalkeeper transfer. And Brentford don't even look that good anyway. So why give yourself that headache? Yep.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Look at that. Goalkeepers. We talked about goalkeepers for anything else you want to add on your team? We've done half an hour, so that's probably a good place to stop. I mean, obviously, in lots of videos, we've talked about the likes of Diaz, Jesus, Martinelli. I guess James is just the final one that we can mention. You mentioned about Chelsea being in disarray. You've still kept faith in James. I mean, Tuchel's basically said, we don't have the defenders to play five at the back, which is a little bit of a concern. Is he someone that you're thinking you might lose, or is he just nailed on still?
I think he's more nailed on. I agree. We should look into the Tuchel's comments, but at the same time, we shouldn't read too much into it, because, you know, they might start the season hot. You just never know, right, with these, you know, top three, top four teams in the league. So James is, yes, a defender, but he's part of that attack. The worry here is that if you look again in the first 7 game weeks, you know, there's opportunities for him to play the right wing back role, which we so want in FPL. But at the same time, I think he has a couple games where he'll sort of play center back and have to mark guys like Son. So there's a little bit of positioning worry there. But at the same time, I'm very confident that James is just a superb option to have and one of those 18 pointers in his system. So I think he's pretty much nailed in my team.
I don't think it matters what system Tuchel plays. I think James and Chilwell and those fullbacks are going to be a constant threat. I mean, you've got the worries that he's going to drop back to centre back, especially if they're saying they haven't got in three kind of central defenders. That might see James there, but they haven't got a natural right wing back that can really do play there. It'll be a kind of a makeshift, you know, player. I mean, Azpilicueta played there last season. Hudson-Odoi played there. They don't offer anywhere near as much as James offers in that spot. So, yeah, I think it'd be nice if Chelsea signed another centre-back before the season starts. But I just think for 6 million, you know, when you compare him to the mids and the forwards, you're getting, you know, Reece James, you know, one of the most attacking defenders in the game. Chelsea have still got good fixtures. you know, a lot of these, I am worried about Tuchel's comments about Chelsea in general, but at the same time, he is trying to put pressure on the new owners to make more signings. So, you know, you've got to take it with a bit of a pinch of salt, I think.
Yeah, I think actually the last thing, if you don't mind, is just my worry is the Kane versus Haaland, because if I do go for Kane, that means that I only have one City, and I just don't like that at all. I want to have three City if possible at all times. The third one is a question mark, right? Where do you really go? Do you go for a defender and then a midfielder emerges? Do you go for a midfielder and then realize it's the wrong midfielder? So which is why I'm swaying towards Haaland. And when you look at Haaland versus Kane, the way you should assess it is not so much like who's the better player, who's the more veteran, then it's obviously Kane, right? But I just view them as captaincy options, right? So I'll have Haaland, Salah, and Kane in sort of a line, think about when I'm going to wildcard, and then compare those fixtures and see who I would captain in this game week. And a lot of it's 50-50, right? So maybe you make the bold call there to captain a differential. But as you know, as captaincy is so important in FPL. And so it is such a 50-50 call between Haaland and Kane. I think that Haaland could go off to an amazing start. You know, him and Grealish is also in my mind. That combination was very good. A lot will be told after this Community Shield game. We'll see how City play. I'm pretty sure it'll be Da Silva, Bilva, you know, KDB and Rodri in the midfield. And then you got Grealish, Haaland, and Mahrez up top. So keen eyes on that. We'll see how Foden comes into the fold. And then I'll make a decision off the Community Shield.
Yep. Excellent. Andy, great to have you back. Really looking forward to Burning Questions again next week and to see your team. I don't think your team's going to change too much, to be honest. I think it looks solid. And yeah, we'll both be waiting to see Perisic in the starting lineup tomorrow night, which might actually be tonight, depending on when this video goes out. I think this video might be coming out on Saturday, so it might be tonight. So ignore when we say tomorrow. But yeah, that's amazing. Again, if you've enjoyed this video, please do like and subscribe. Like the video and subscribe to the channel. Loads of great content coming your way once the season starts. And just a week to go, exactly a week to go, and we'll be back underway. Another season never ends, does it?
Never ends. Yeah, but it came quick.
It did. It's come around so fast. We love it. I'm looking forward to it being back. Shout out to Fest as well. Obviously, if you haven't got your ticket yet, your time is running out to do that. It's next Friday. Doors open at 4:00. I'll be there. Mark will be there. Andy sadly won't be there, but I think Praz is going, and there'll be lots of people that if you watch these videos, people that you recognise. It'll just be a great day, a great evening. Sort your ticket out. It's £20, but you can enjoy lots of great FPL banter ahead of the deadline. Andy, thank you so much, and we will catch up very soon.
Yeah, thank you. As always, a pleasure.